The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samach Beis, Hilchos Masa Umatan, Sifim Aleph to Yud, Sif Aleph. Sarach lizor ma'oid shloi lahaynes es chaveyoi. One has to be very careful not to do aynah against his friend. What's aynah? Aynah is when you're charging a sixth or more above the market price when you're selling, or if you're buying, if you're paying a sixth or more below the market price. So, for example, if you have an item that the market price is $6 and you sell it to someone for $7, so then that would be the Issa of Aynah. Or on the flip side as well, if something's the market price is $7 and you're selling it for $6, so then as well, that would be the Issa of Aynah. So a lot of people ask, well, okay, you know, I want to buy a bottled water, and if I go to the local supermarket, say it's going to cost 25 cents. If I buy it from somebody selling a cold water bottle on the street corner, it costs $1. And if I go to the airport, they're going to charge me $5. So who's over the Issa of Aynah? And the answer is, Pesachoshin and others say that nobody's over the Issa of Aynah. Why? Because you have to look at the price, the market price within that market. You can't compare an airport, which has limited stores and not, doesn't have accessibility to the regular neighborhood, compared to a regular neighborhood grocery store, compared to somebody who's selling it on the street corner, a cold bottle. So each market has to be looked at its own. So that's why sometimes people ask, we have with appliances, you have some stores that have all the models out there on display, and you have the salesmen who are knowledgeable, and they help you decide which is your, you know, best fit for you. And you have other places that you just call up, you give them a model number, and they deliver it to you. So if there's a price differential between the two, is one over aynah one way or the other? And the answer is not, because you have to compare apples with apples. You have to compare those stores that have full service and all the models on display and see what the prices are in those stores. And that has to be compared to its peers, not with a store that is a... just you call up and give a model number for, you know, someone working in his basement. Another question people ask, well, how do I buy anything on sale at the grocery store? You know, so the answer is that if you're Michael on the, you know, if the side that would be getting the raw end is Michael, so then there's no Issa Vainah. So when the store owner puts up, you know, this sale this week, tomato sauce instead of $1.79, regularly, it's now going to be $1.29. That's not a problem of aynah, because obviously he's being meichel. So we'll continue. V'chol ha'ma'ana es chaveyoi, whoever does aynah against his friend, bein sh'ameichel ma'ana es halekeach, whether the seller is doing aynah on the buyer, meaning he's charging him more than the market price, bein sh'alekeach ma'ana es ha'meichel, or whether the buyer is doing aynah against the seller, meaning he's buying below the market price, oiva belav, he's oiva with an aveira, shenema, v'chisimku memkala misecha, when you're going to buy something from your friend, when you're going to sell something from your friend, oikonem yara misecha, you're buying something from your friend, al toinu isha sachiv, now do aynah with your friend. Now the Rosh has a suffix, he says, is the issa to buy, to charge more than the market price, even a little bit, even a shavar pruta or more, or is the issa only once you hit that sixth threshold? Because Chazal tell us that up to a sixth, we say people are meichel because you can never really exactly pinpoint the exact value of the price in many situations. So up to a sixth differential, that's something people expect. They could be off by, and therefore there's implicit mechila. Or no, you're not allowed to do it even if you know if it's less than a sixth, just that there's no recourse until you start hitting the numbers of a sixth. So he says that Yoy Shemayim will subscribe to both opinions and be machmir. However, just as a remez, people like to say, well, where does Chazal get the sixth from? Obviously, they felt that was the amount that was considered mechila. But if you look, we just said al tainu ishas achiv, and the pasuk continues v'yareisam elikecha. So if you take the last letter, says the Balaturim, of ish es achiv yoresa. So ish ends with a shin, s with a saf, achiv with a vav, and yoresa, which is not printed here, ends with a saf. That would be shtus, which is a sixth. The halacha is that, in general, if the ainoa was a sixth, so then the person who got the warren could ask and demand for the money back in many situations. And if the ainoa was greater than a sixth, so then there's bitul mekach. Then the transaction can be canceled, the merchandise can be given back, and the money goes back as well. Again, there are other criteria in order to do that, but that's the general rule. Continuing, and that's the first question that when someone goes to the Beis Shalmala, he's asked, did you do business truthfully, according to Halacha? Days. And just like there's an Issa of Einoah when you're buying and selling, so too, there's an Issa Einoah when you're renting things, or if you're doing things for a set fee, not an hourly rate, but you're doing it for a set price, or in money changing. So if, let's say, you want to rent chairs from a chair rental company, if you have three companies, and again, we have to compare apples with apples, so they're doing the exact, renting the exact same quality chairs, and the service is exactly the same, everything's equal. So if all the chair renters are charging $2 a chair, and one company is charging $3 a chair, so that would be a problem of Einoah, even though it's schiris, it's not buying and selling. It should be noted that obviously you can figure out that it's very difficult for a business to stay in business if it's being oivid issa Einoah, because the market obviously will gravitate to go to the lower cost suppliers. But what people usually do is by differentiating yourself within the market, you can therefore demand a higher price that people will be willing to pay. So you have a 24-hour grocery store that's open, and the other grocery store is charged, let's say, $2.69 for a half gallon of milk, and this grocery store charges $4 for a half gallon of milk. But they're staying in business. Why? Because most other grocery stores aren't open 24 hours, and if you need milk at 2 a.m., that's the place to go. So therefore, there wouldn't be Einoah in that case, because, again, they're providing a different product. It's not a similar market. You have to compare, as we said, similar markets. Sif Gimel. Hanoisev Enoisev Be'amuna, someone who's considered what's called a Enoisev Enoisev Be'amuna, Eino Chayshish La'Einoah. He doesn't have to worry about this of Einoah. Kate said, what's a Enoisev Enoisev Be'amunah? Chayfet Zeh B'kach L'kach L'kachtiv. He tells the buyer, I bought this merchandise for X dollars. And I want to profit Y amount on it. So let's say I bought this for $10, and I want to make $2 on it. I make a 20% markup on everything I do. So I'm selling this now for $12 to you. Even though the purchaser, the seller in this case, paid, was ripped off when he bought it, meaning, let's say the market price was $8, and he now spent $10 on it, and he's trying to sell it for $12. And in general, normally, just because you bought something at an Einoah price, it doesn't give you the right to resell it at an Einoah price. If, again, the market price, say, is $8, if you bought the merchandise for $10, you're not allowed to sell it to $10 to somebody else, even though you're not making any profit, because the market price, again, is still only $8. Nevertheless, zeh mutar. In this situation where a person always transacts his business in that way, that he tells everyone, I only charge a 20% markup for whatever I pay for it, in that case, you're nice and nice in Bemuna, that's permitted. Why? Because it's as if he's telling the customer clearly, don't rely that this is what the product is worth. You're only relying that this is what I paid for it, but not necessarily what the product is worth. A lot of people have a false understanding that you're not allowed to profit a certain amount and more than a sixth, and that's what Einoah is all about. That's not the case. Einoah has nothing to do with profit. It has to do with selling above or paying below the market price. So if you can, for example, buy some electronic gadget in overseas and get it here for, let's say, $5 a piece, and now you're selling it to retail stores on a wholesale basis, and they're buying it for the market price of $25 a piece, and they in turn are selling it to their customers for $40 a piece. So that's fine. Even though you're buying for $5, you're selling for $25. That's a nice profit. That's not the issue of Einar, because the store is here. The market price for buying that is $25. And when you bought it as well, the price was $5, was the going price. So there's no problem profiting. The only problem is when you are selling or buying below the market price. Sif Dalet. Mi sheyeshli eza davalim, if you have something to sell. You're not allowed to beautify it in a way that you can trick people with it. Kagain, for example, you're not allowed to give an animal a certain drink, which causes its hair to stand on edge. So now this way the animal looks like it's a much fatter, healthier animal with much more meat on it, because usually the hairs are laying flat, and now that they're raised on their ends, so it appears that all that length of the hair is mostly going to be meat from the animal. You're not allowed to paint old utensils, old kelim, so that they should appear to be new. And anything similar to that. Now, if you have a 15-year-old car that's all muddy and dirty, and you want to take it to the car wash to give it a car wash before you sell it, because you know it's not going to have much curb appeal if at all. Is full of mud, so that's fine. That's not what this sif is talking about, because you're not fooling anybody. It's a 15-year-old car, and now it's a 15-year-old car that had a car wash to it. You're not fooling anybody. Similarly, you have a old wooden picnic table, and it's all weather beaten, and the paint is all peeling. So if you have it scraped and painted, and then you sell it, so as long as you're selling it as a old picnic table that was repainted, so then that's fine. You're not fooling anybody. You're getting exactly what you're representing. In this case, an old picnic table that had a new paint job. What something that's more applicable is, let's say you got a bunch of cell phones in, and they're refurbished, and now you're going to take the refurbished label off of the boxes, you're going to peel off that sticker, and now you're going to sell them as new. That would be a situation where you're passing off something as different than what it truly is. Sif hei. V'chein osa la'arev ma'at peiris ro'im b'habe peiris yofim. Not allowed to mix a few bad peiris, a few bad fruits, together with a batch of mostly good fruits, k'dei l'machon b'cheskes yofim, to sell the whole batch as good fruits, because obviously bad fruits cost less per pound. And this way, if you adulterate the good batch by a little bit, it's still going to be acceptable to most buyers, and you'll be able to get the higher price per pound on those bad fruits that you normally wouldn't have been able to get. L'arev mashke rabbi yofim. Also, you're not allowed to mix an inferior drink with a good drink, again, to accomplish the same goal. Bimhaya taimai nika, however, if the taste can be clearly discerned, mutala arev, you'd be allowed to mix the drink, kelekech yagish, because the buyer will notice that. So let's say you own one of those candy and nut stores, and there's a barrel of almonds that has a scooper. People usually scoop up a batch and put into their bag and get it weighed and paid for. And there's a bunch of, naturally, within a barrel of almonds, there's a certain percentage of nuts that are rotten. So let's say you have a 2% of your batch is rotten, which is normal and in a natural state considered acceptable. So let's say one of your workers goes and he picks out all the bad ones and he puts them on the side. And now you come to the store and you say, hey, wait, why'd you do that? Now we usually charge $3.99 a pound, and now what are we going to do with these bad almonds? No one's going to buy just bad almonds for $3.99 a pound, so you want to throw them back in. So the answer is you'd be usher to throw them back in, because you're taking bad schayra, and now you're putting it in order to sell it for a higher amount. So you're going to ask, well, wait, it started out that way, so why can't I just put it back to its original state? And the answer is that's still usher, because we say that the customer allows a certain amount of bad nuts, and there's a tolerance for the natural occurrence. So let's say normally up to 3% of the nuts being bad is considered acceptable within the marketplace. And the buyers are meichel on that. That's how it comes. But they're only meichel on something that occurred naturally. If you're going to deliberately mix in, so then that would be usus. So in this case, if you start with a 2% batch of bad almonds, and now we're going to return it back down to zero, so you can't throw them back in, because even though you're only bringing it back to 2%, which is still within the tolerance if it occurred naturally, but since this was not a natural occurrence, it now at this point became clean, and now you're deliberately diluting, that's something that would be usur. Sifav. A store owner is allowed to give out puffed wheat and nuts, which were considered children treats, in order to get them to come often to buy from you. So an example would be, let's say you have a supermarket and they give out lollipops to any kid that walks in, so that's okay. Normally you would think, well, maybe that's like a neighbor's das. You're looking like you're being a nice guy and giving the kids treats, but that's really not what your motivation is. Your motivation is so that when it's time to go shopping, their parents will be pestered by them to, hey, I want to go shopping at this store, let's go to that store, because they're going to get their candy. That's still okay. You're allowed to sell your merchandise cheaper than the market rate. Again, you're being Michael Dainar if there is. So that you'll attract customers. You want to win customers away from the competition. And the other market participants, they can't stop you from doing that because if a person's allowed to work at a lower profit if he so wishes. Now, that's only in a case where you can still have a profitable business at those lower margins. However, let's say supermarket A is doing very well, and now supermarket B is opening up to compete with it. Now, supermarket A knows that, let's say, supermarket B is not well capitalized, and being a monopoly in town is very advantageous for supermarket A. So they decide, you know what, we're going to drop all our prices to cost over the next few months until supermarket B will be forced to close, because obviously he won't be able to stay in business if he's not making any money. And then once he's gone, then we'll put prices back to where they used to be. So that would be usur to do, because even though we just said that you're allowed to sell at a lower price, that says Aruch HaShulchan and others, that's only if you're selling it at a price that is can still be a sustainable business. But if you're selling it at prices that aren't sustainable, that can't sustain a profitable business, so then you're being a mazik. You're causing harm. That's not allowed. Of course, a supermarket can afford to sell some loss leader items in order to get people into the stores and do it as a sale. That's okay, even though they're not making profit on those items, but every store can afford to give a few loss leaders in order to give some good sales to attract some customers to come. But we're talking about a situation where it's more than that. You're doing it across the board, or you're doing it in a way where someone else can't compete against that. That would be the problem. Siv Zion. Hamoided oishoikel chas lechaveh. If someone weighs or measures and shortchanges that weight or measure when he's selling, even to a nachri, oive belav, he's oive nisish, nema loisasu, ovo b'mida, b'mishkol b'msua. The punishment of cheating when it comes to weighing and measuring is extremely bad. Because if you're weighing or measuring falsely, it's practically impossible to do a tshuva that's an acceptable tshuva, a worthy tshuva. Because you don't know who to return the stolen money from and how much to give. You sold customers, for a year, and you don't remember who bought how many pounds of what and how much you cheated on the weight. It's almost impossible to calculate how much money you have to return and to whom. And even though Shulchan Aruch says that the way to what a person should do in such a case is he should do some public work. He should donate things that are for use of the public. He should pay for a mikvah, for a playground, things that the tzibur uses. And then in the hope that perhaps the people who were cheated by him will now benefit from these items, and that'll act somewhat as a repayment. It's not a really worthy type of tshuva. It's the best a person can do, and that's something he has to do. But it's not a complete short tshuva. Sifches. Ksiv lo yeh locha b'kischa evan v'evan g'day l'ktani. You're not allowed to have two weights, a big one and a small one. When you're buying, you're going to use a weight that's a smaller weight, so you're going to be able to get more merchandise for the price you're giving them. And when you're selling, to use the bigger weight so you can charge more or vice versa. Lo yelecha b'beischa eifa v'eifa g'day l'ktana. It also says you can't have your house, also two types of measures. Eben shleimu v'tzedek yelech. You have to have a complete, accurate measure. Eifa shleimu v'tzedek yelech. Complete, accurate measure. Tevas b'kischa, chen tevas b'beischa nian l'chayrim k'm yusarin. And the word kischa and the word bebeischa seem to be superfluous in the pasuk. The pasuk would be understood without them. B'dasher is also chachamim dashen lo yelecha b'kischa mamon. You won't have in your pocket money. Matam? Why? Mishum evin because you have false weights. You have two weights, a big one and a large one. Lo yelecha b'beischa tzachecha. You're not going to have in your house your needs. Matam? What's the reason? Mishum eifa b'eifa because you have two different types of measures. A big one and a small one to cheat. Aval evin shleimu v'tzedek, but you should have a complete, accurate weight. In you b'veischa, if that'll be in your house, yelecha mamon, then you will have money. V'chein eifa shleimu v'tzedek, and so too, a clear, true weight. In you b'veischa, if that is what is in your house, yelecha tzachecha, then you'll have your needs. Adam u'ezal, Chazal also tell us, ma'ya sa'adam yisaseh. What should a person do if he wants to become wealthy? He should do his business faithfully and in truth. And he should daven to Hashem for who owns all the wealth in the world to help him out. Hashem is the one who has the kesef and the zav, and he's the one who can give it out to us. Siftes. You have to not just weigh exactly, but you should also give on top of, after the weight is complete, add a little bit more to the customer. Shenemar eifa shleimu v'tzedek yelach. You should have a complete measure. Matam lo v'tzedek. What does it have to say v'tzedek? Amitayah the Torah tells us tzedek mishalcha v'seimah. You have to give of your own to the customer. So even on Shulchan Aruch, it brings down different percentages, whether it's how much you should add, whether it's a dry measure or a liquid measure. But the Maram, Shulchan Aruch Shik, says that the minig in our days is just to add just a little bit. It's, you don't have to add the shiurim that I mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yud. Sarech limdoid k'minig ha-medina. You have to weigh according to the minig of the medina. V'loy shana klai. You should not change at all from that. Malkum Shinal Gulligdesh, let's say you're in a town that the custom is that when you give, let's say, a measure and they fill it up, they give a heaping measure. Lo yimchak, so you shouldn't knock off the heap and give it as a flat measure. I feel about Sana Lakech, even if the buyer agrees to that, Shatifi Saidamin, because he's going to give you less money for that merchandise because you're not giving him a heaping measure. He wants to spend less and get a measure that's a straight measure. Still, that's not allowed. Malkum shnagu limchaik, and in a place where the measure, that minig is to measure, where you're not giving it heaping, you're giving it flat in the container. Lo yigdash, you can't give a heaping measure. I feel a bit sign of meicha, even if the seller agrees, you're giving them extra money that you should get a heaping measure. Why? Because the Torah is makpid on any change in the weights and measures. Because then, if you're making changes, bad things can come out of it. How? Shiyira haroya, because the onlooker will see, shemaydin kach, that that's how it's being measured. Yidmalay, and he'll think, shekach yimidas ha'ir, that that's how you weigh and measure in the city. Yimaydid kain la'afer, and then he's going to measure so to somebody else. She'eni yodeh, who doesn't, gam kain as a minute, who also doesn't know the minute. Yateh, and then he'll be able to cheat him because he won't know what's going on. He'll give him a flat measure and he'll charge him the price for a heaping measure. So anytime you make any changes with the weights and measures, that's something that can go wrong. So a case that would be applicable to us is let's say we sell fruits and vegetables by the pound in the stores, and let's say some person's going to start setting up a store where he's going to sell by the kilogram. So even though he's going to make sure
that the henchman comes out the same, and there's not going to be any problem of remorse. People are going to still get a fair deal. But since we don't buy by the kilogram, that's not a measure that we use. We do things by the pound. So to do that would be a way that other people would be able to learn how to cheat and cause other people to be cheated. Okay.